Up next from 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston, we welcome in our friend Ty Anderson. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
Doing pretty well, thanks. Is your head still spinning from last week's crazy week for the Bruins?
Yeah, I think it's finally gotten off the roller coaster here a little bit, but it was wild, man. It was just it was crazy, you know, as a writer and covering the stories breaking as they're happening. You know, you're working the phones, you're working emails, and the stories are flying, so you're trying to keep up, and it's a pretty wild day. And then, you know, once the signings are done, I have to write about everything all the new guys just said. So it was a pretty wild day, and this Monday, though, has been a nice, smooth re-entry, I would say. So that's been nice.
Well, let's work our way backwards a little bit and start perhaps with the most recent news, and that's the decision of David Krejci to return to the Czech Republic after a long and terrific run with the Boston Bruins. You wrote about it today. This is a pretty big loss for the Bees.
Yeah, it's huge. I think that, you know, last year you kind of saw what happened, right? One of the great standbys with the Bruins has always been their left side defensive depth. Well, we saw it last year. They didn't really have it, and they had to go out and address it. We're maybe looking at something similar here in 2021-22 with their center depth. I mean, this has always been the backbone of this team between Bergeron and Krejci. And now we really don't know what it's going to be. You know, they have some options internally, but no one can really do what David Krejci did. The patience, the poise, making his line mates better consistently. That was the thing that a lot of people kind of forgot about, is that, you know, he was great with Taylor Hall, but yeah, he would drag guys that arguably had no business being in that spot to some pretty solid campaigns. So they're going to miss him in a lot of ways, and really they need somebody within their camp to come through and really rise to the challenge. But the question is, can any of them really do that? Between Sednika and Coyle and Eric Halla, they don't really have a guy that you look to and say, that can be David Krejci.
So if there are no great internal options, who's the best guy out there on somebody else's team?
Well, a guy that I look at is Christian Dvorak from the Arizona Coyotes. The Bruins are reportedly in on him leading up to the NHL draft. A trade did not materialize between the Bruins and Coyotes, but he's coming off a 17-goal campaign. But one of the things that you have to like about him is that when the Coyotes had Taylor Hall, they put Dvorak with him as a center. And the results were pretty promising, I thought, given the team quality of the Coyotes, what those guys were able to do together as a line, I think was impressive. And I think with the Bruins, it would probably lead to some more actual results in terms of goals and point production, just based on the offensive acumen of the Bruins versus the Coyotes. So he's an option. Then, of course, there's Jack Eichel. If there is a trade to be made, the Bruins, I assume, would be in on the conversation. Do they have the pieces to make the trade? Not really sure. They're kind of up against the cap, and they don't really have a lot of assets that the Sabres would really want compared to some of the other suitors. But I think Eichel wants to be here, and the Bruins would be that'd be a pretty big home run if they could make that happen.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. Lots of shuffling at the goaltender position. And you told us a couple of weeks back you thought they would go out and get a veteran. They did indeed do that, said goodbye to Vladar. And so now it's a two-man operation back there with Jeremy Swayman. But the guy they got is more than capable starter and is not the grizzled old veteran some people thought they would get, but they've got themselves a 27-year-old goaltender at a pretty reasonable rate.
Yeah, this one surprised me, because when we spoke, like you mentioned, I really thought it was going to be a kind of a journeyman, a number three, basically, who could challenge in camp but maybe not win the job. But no, they went out and they got the sure thing. And Linus Ullmark, he's 27, entering the prime of his career. He's 6'4", so he fits the build as a bigger goaltender. We've seen the league trend towards that in recent years. Battled some injury concerns, yes, but he had a .917 save percentage with Buffalo Sabres. You know, one of the worst teams in the league, one of the worst defensive units in the league. And he really rose to the challenge. He had a great 5-on-5 save percentage, one of the top five in the NHL. So there's a lot they like about him, advanced metrics, analytics. And they also believe that they can kind of fix his injury problems. They believe that the injuries are the result of having to play absolutely out of his mind in a less-than-ideal sort of structure with the Sabres. The Bruins think that their style, their more controlled style, the way they kill penalties, will lead to some healthier months, some better outings. and they're going to go from there. So $20 million on the surface may seem like a lot when you look at the name. A lot of people don't know who he is or what he's done. But you look at the potential and the upside and what they have with Jeremy Swayman, this doesn't really block him in terms of contractually or you know, you can't be spending too much on goaltending, for example. This allows them to have a 1-2 punch like they've had with Halak and Rask these last few years, if it all works out the way they think it's going to.
And as you point out in your piece and said there, it doesn't block Jeremy Swayman. At the same time, even up here in Black Bear Country, people need to take a step back and a deep breath and realize that we've seen a very, very small sample size to determine whether or not Jeremy Swayman is ready to be a number one goalie in the NHL.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is one of those things where you look at it and you want to believe, right, because the sample was so good. But we've seen goaltenders go on better runs and longer runs and not be the real deal. You know, I think about Andrew Hammond in 2016 with the Ottawa Senators. He came in and really stole the show for them. And now he's back in the minors. He's been in the minors for 4 years now. He never really took that next step. So there's a lot of risk that comes with goaltending. And you have to wonder here, what was the actual plan for the Bruins if Tuukka Rask didn't need surgery? You know, my understanding is that they were pretty open to Swayman beginning and maybe finishing next season in the minors had they had Rask available. They want to give him an extended run here to see what he can do and to develop as a pro. But this situation here, without Rask and with Halak out of the equation and with Vladar traded, okay, this is Swayman's time now to show that he's ready. And if he's not ready, he's going to go back to the minors because he has options. But, yeah, you want to believe, but you got to allow yourself to think that maybe this isn't going to be the slam dunk that it looked like through the first 10 games of Swayman's career.
And they're also leaving that door ajar just a little bit for Tuukka Rask.
Yeah, it really does sound like they have a legitimate interest in bringing him back once he's healthy. And I really did like Don Sweeney's answer when talking about Tuukka, saying, I'd look at it as if we had really good goaltending. And we've seen what this team has gone through in recent seasons, whether it's been up front or on the back end, and even in goal. You know, Vladar had a play game a couple of years ago in the bubble. So you look at that and you say, okay, well, it's never a bad thing to have too much goaltending, and especially if the guy, you know, Tuukka in this case, is willing to be here to play perhaps an every other game kind of role or be the third guy, not break the bank. Rask has said that he only wants to play for the Bruins, so if he is back, it's going to be on short money and without as many guarantees. So that helps the Bruins, and you can never have enough goaltending in the NHL playoffs, especially if the option that you have at your disposal is a guy like Tuukka Rask.
Well, the Bruins unquestionably added some depth last week. From your perspective, who's the most significant offensive contributor that they've added?
Well, I would say Nick Foligno, only because I think that they're going to utilize him in a role similar to Nick Ritchie last year. I think he's going to be a net front guy on the power play. I do think that he's going to play on your third line wing, maybe move up to the second line if need be. Ultimately, I like Erik Haula and Tomasz Nosek, but I think that they are more third line, fourth line kind of scorers. We're going to have to see what their role is with the Bruins as well. Where do they slot into the mix? So I think that the upside of Foligno, who has battled some injuries lately, he's got some back problems that have crept up in recent seasons. But I just think based on his role and what the Bruins want out of him, I project that he's probably going to have the most offensive impact out of those three signings.
What do the Bruins still need?
Well, I would say they need to figure out what the second line is going to look like in terms of who it is and if they have the capable horses on the roster or make that decision externally. I would say they need to cut some cap space as well. Who is that? Is that John Moore and his $2.75 million? Is that Jake DeBrusque and his 3 point, I believe it's 6 or 8? Those are some heavy cap hits for guys that really don't have a home right now. But if you look beyond that, I would add another right shot defenseman. Kevin Miller's retired. Steven Camper went to the KHL. So that's the spot that I look at and say you could really probably use another NHL piece there if it's available. You know, a guy who can be your eighth defenseman. They did sign Tyler Lewington, who theoretically could bounce between the AHL and the NHL, but I think the Bruins may want a more sure thing there. And this market may have them. It's just about scouring through the bargain bin here over the next few weeks and seeing how low you can go with some of these prices for the remaining defensemen.
Bruins also looking to the future with 28 players in their development camp. You're going there to check it out tomorrow, but what's your overview of the level of talent that's there?
Yeah, this is an interesting spot for the Bruins as a franchise in terms of their young talent. You really need to see a guy break through here and be a true game breaker, show some legit growth. One player that's interesting is Johnny Beecher. He's their first-round pick in 2019. Ended last year having shoulder surgery, so not sure what his plan is in terms of moving forward, whether it's going back to Michigan or beginning his pro career down in Providence. I would lean Michigan, personally. I think the Bruins would lean Michigan as well, based on the fact that he didn't have a complete season last year due to injury, and he also had COVID for a little while there. So he's a guy I'd watch. I'm curious what their defense is going to be looking like here. If you look at the camp listing and the invites, a lot of big bodies, a lot of 6'3", 6'4" kind of guys invited to camp. So the Bruins want to get bigger on defense, and you want to see how some of these guys sort of make their jump into the pro ranks or the next level of college or juniors, whether it's Mason Lowry, who was their second-round pick last year, Ryan Mast, a sixth-round pick from this past draft. They have some options, some promising players, based on people I've talked to and asked around. So you're beginning to see the next shape of Bruins develop here. And it really is about finding those next guys, whether they're top prospects or diamonds in the rough.
Ty Anderson of 98.5, the Sports Hub. Ty, appreciate you making sense of it all for us. Hope it settles down for you a little bit this week, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again soon. Next time the Bruins have a huge shakeup, or maybe sooner than that.
Yeah, I'm always around. Whenever you want to talk, I can make sense of anything as best I can. Won't always make sense, but we can try.
All right, we'll catch you soon. Thank you, Ty.
Thank you.
Ty Anderson of the Sports Hub here on Downtown.